Okay.
So tonight I wanted to speak about the glories, the mercy of Govardhan Hills. Om Ganat Timurandasya Gananjana Shlakaya. Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So first I'll speak about. Whoops. He turned it off again. There's no electricity. That's good. Careful, don't sit on it. So first I'll speak about where Govardhan Hill came from. Because I was, as I mentioned before, I was very inspired because Brajraj and Premanandi went to Govardhan Hill and they walked all around Govardhan Hill in their bare feet. It's very difficult. It took 8 hours. It's 21 kilometers. It's a long trip, isn't it? 21 kilometers. So, I first started going around Govardhan when I was about 1973, I think, was the first time. It was many years ago. So, who is Govardhan and what is Govardhan? And where did Govardhan come from? A very interesting question. So there's Govardhan Hill in this material world, and there's a Govardhan Hill in Goloka Vrindavan. They're the same, but they have a different story of the origin, where they came from. So I'll tell the spiritual world first. Once upon a time, Srimati Radharani and Krishna were in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. So Goloka Vrindavan is the top of all the spiritual planets, where the pure devotees of the Lord, they have a relationships with Krishna, like conjugal relationship, or friendship, or parental relationship, or serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they enjoy these relationships in their spiritual bodies. So one day, in the spiritual world, Srimati Radharani said, Krishna, I want a place where we can have our, let's say, Rasa Leela or different pastimes with rivers on it and beautiful hills. And Krishna said, all right, I will create such a place. So then out of Krishna's heart came this hill. And this hill represents Krishna's love for Srimati Radharani. Govardhan Hill is the same as Krishna. He's an expansion of Krishna. So this giant hill manifested and got bigger and bigger, and Krishna said, you better don't become so big. You're going to take over all of Goloka Vrindavan. This is a story from the Garga Samhita, one of the original Vedic literatures. So that's the Govardhan in the spiritual world. And it's described that Govardhan is something like 8 yojanas high in the spiritual world. Some, you know what a yojana? Yojana is like 10 miles or 15 kilometers. So 15 times 8. Can anyone do that mathematics? How much is 15 times 8? What? 120. Yeah, so 100. Can you imagine 120 kilometers high? And wider? And longer. So anyway, so the spiritual world is unlimited because it can contain unlimited numbers of devotees. So that's the Govardhan Hill in the spiritual world. So as far as the material world where we're at right now, of course, Vrindavan is not part of the material world. As Brajraj probably experienced, right? When you went there, you felt different. You became very detached from everything in this world, and you didn't want to go back. Didn't want to go back to Salva Salva. Because Salva Salva is part of the material world. I hate to tell you that. Even though there's nice fruit here and everything like that, nice ocean and everything, it's just not the spiritual world. So, in the material world, Govardhan manifests in Braj, but how he manifests is very interesting. The Govardhan in the spiritual world incarnates as the son of a mountain called Dronachal Mountain. And this Dronachal Mountain has a mountain son. Because mountains, when they have babies, have mountain children. This is life, you know. Mountains are alive. They actually are. I mean, there's many entities in this world that are alive, and we don't think of them normally as alive. Of course, trees are alive, they don't move. And even mountains like that are alive. And mountains generally don't move. In the past, they used to fly in the sky. But they need to clip their wings off. Govardhan appeared, and then there was this sage who came from Kashi. Kashi is a place where Lord Shiva is worshipped. And Kashi is also a place where there's a lot of Mayavadis. You know what a Mayavadi is? A Mayavadi is someone who says, I'm God, you're God, we're all God, there's no God, God is Maya, isn't it? Everything is God, Maya, Maya, Maya. So all they know is Maya. Instead of chanting Krishna, 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 they chant Maya, Maya, Maya. You're Maya, I'm Maya, we're all Maya, and we're all God. That's a Mayavadi. So that's Kashi, you know, Varanasi. That's where all the Mayavadis are. When Lord Chaitanya, I'll tell a story before you go on with this story. When Lord Chaitanya went to Varanasi, he was the only Vaishnava sannyasi there. So he stayed away from all the Mayavadis. He wouldn't take prasadam with them. So he avoided them. But then they all started to criticize him. Particularly there was one Mayavadi named Prakashananda Sarasvati, who criticized Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so Lord Chaitanya's devotees, Tapan, Mishra, and Chandrasekhar, they said, you have to go and defend this. You know, they're offending you, so you have to go and defend yourself or convert these Mayavadis. So Lord Chaitanya said, okay. So he went to where the Mayavadis were sitting there and discussing Maya. That's what Mayavadis discuss, Maya. So, and anyway, even in Fiji, there's many Mayavadi groups. They're all Mayavadis, practically speaking. Even if they chant Ram Nam, they'll say, ultimately, you're Ram. And they'll say, oh, my wife is Sita and I'm Ram. Of course, they cannot defeat Ravan. So they're like Ravan, and they think they're Ram. They're worse than the original Ravan. Because at least the original Ravan was honest. He said, yeah, I'm a Rakshasa. That's honesty. Better to be a nice, honest Rakshasa than to be an artificial Ram. So many groups here in Fiji, Mayavadis. Mayavadis are materialists. They chant Ram Nam and then they get drunk. Ram, Ram, Ram. Okay. Pass the kava, pass the vodka. Let's have some cigarettes. Like that. This is nonsense. So in this particular place, basically there were all these Mayavadis there. You know, some Arya Samaj people, some Sanatan Dharmis, some Brahmakumaris. I think you have all these groups here, right? They're all there. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to convince them, he entered this place and he, what's that?
Maya.
That's Maya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down where everybody kept their shoes. So he sat down where everybody kept their shoes. And they said, why do you have to sit in such a dirty place? And then Lord Chaitanya showed an effulgence, that means a brightness, more than 10,000 times of the sun. It's pretty bright. And they brought him to a sitting place. And then Lord Chaitanya had a discussion about a particular literature called the Vedanta Sutra, which is, many of you don't know what that is, but I think most of you have heard of the Upanishads. So the commentary on the Upanishads is called the Vedanta Sutra, which is written by Srila Vyasadeva. And for us, the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra is the Srimad Bhagavatam, also spoken by Srila Vyasadeva. So Lord Chaitanya was first challenged by these Mayavadis. They said, you're supposed to be a sannyasi, and you don't speak much about Vedanta. All you do is chant and dance. And Lord Chaitanya said, well, my spiritual master said I was foolish, so you're going to qualify to study Vedanta. So just chant and dance. And he said, by chanting and dancing, I become ecstatic, and my spiritual master is very pleased because I have achieved the love of God. So that was the discussion. And then eventually Lord Chaitanya showed them that he did know Vedanta, and he defeated them all, and they apologized. And they surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's a Mayavada. That's Varanasi. So if you go there to Varanasi today, in fact, no one is a devotee. I mean, there's a Hare Krishna temple there. They're devotees. But everyone else is Maya, Maya, Maya. Mayavadi sannyasis, Brahman, aham Brahmasmi, aham Brahmasmi. This is their chant. And they think, or Tatwamasi. That's another chant. You are that is. Tatwamasi, Tatwamasi. Aham Brahmasmi. They're chanting over and over again. So, this Govardhan, this Pulastya Muni, he wanted to take Govardhan to Varanasi. But Govardhan doesn't belong in Varanasi. He's a devotee. He's Krishna, but Krishna is a devotee. Sometimes he's called or worshipped as Krishna, and sometimes he's worshipped as the best devotee of Krishna. So then what happened is that Pulastya Muni approached Govardhan's father, the mountain father, and he said to him, I'd like to take your son with me to Varanasi. And he said, well, talk to my son. So he went to speak to Govardhan, and Govardhan basically said, okay, I'll go with you, but you can't put me down anywhere. If you put me down anywhere, I'm going to stay there. And so Pulastya Muni said, no problem. I'm a sage, I can carry a mountain. Like Hanuman, he carried a whole mountain, so the sage, he could carry the mountain. So he lifted Govardhan up and was flying through the air. And then Govardhan did his mystical trick. And he made himself very, very heavy when he was right over Vrindavan, area of Braj. He made himself very heavy and also arranged that the sage would have to go to the bathroom. So he was flying through the air, and then he was carrying this heavy mountain, and he has, uh-oh. And he had to land, and he put Govardhan down. And then when Govardhan went down, he said, I'm going to stay down. But he didn't tell the sage that. So the sage came back after taking a bath and cleaning himself, and he tried to pick up Govardhan again. And then what happened? He couldn't pick him up. And then he said, what's the problem, Govardhan? And Govardhan said, I'm staying here. Too bad, sage. And so sages, there's all these stories in the Vedic literature how sages curse, isn't it? I mean, if you read the Mahabharata or the Ramayana, there's all these curses there. It's very dangerous. Very dangerous to talk to a sage. Like Dasarath, isn't it? He was cursed that he would die being separated from his son when he killed a young Brahmin boy. And then also, so many people were cursed. Yeah, there's Dasarath, Pandu was cursed, that he ever got romantic with his wife because he killed the sage Kindama and the sage's wife when they were taking the form of deer. Then he would die. And so, quite a story of curses, isn't it? And you find a lot of people getting cursed and becoming demons too. Like that, Taraka, the first demon that Lord Ramchandra killed. She was actually quite beautiful before, but she was cursed to become a Rakshasa man-eater. And her son, does anyone know who her son is? Marich. So they also became Rakshasa. But she was actually a nice young girl before. So anyway, so getting to the point, Pulastya Muni got very angry at Govardhan, and he cursed Govardhan to shrink. He said, you may be a mountain, but you're going to shrink one grain of mustard seed height for every day. And to this day, Govardhan is shrinking. And you can actually see there's certain parts when you circumambulate Govardhan. Let's say you start, where did you start circumambulation? At the Radhakund bus stop? Yeah. Usually, if you go with me, we start at Haridev Temple. Remember? We took Gokul Bandhu, the friend of Gokul, with us. And Haridev is the deity, that shows is a self-manifested deity. It shows Krishna lifting up Govardhan Hill. And that deity appeared when the gopis were looking for Krishna, and Krishna was hiding. And they were chanting, Hari Dev, Hari Dev, Hari Dev. And they couldn't find him. And then all of a sudden there was this deity holding up Govardhan Hill with the pinky of his left hand. So usually you start from there. But then after you leave that particular area, go a little distance, you'll find that there's no more Govardhan. It goes below the ground. So practically speaking, half of the parikrama, you can't see Govardhan anymore. Because he's shrinking so much, he went below the ground. And then all the stones from Govardhan are considered to be part of the Lord's transcendental body. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on this planet, he had a Govardhan Shila. Like you see, there's two Govardhan Shilas on the altar here. I can't say they're mine, I belong to them. And the improper to say they're my Shilas, like my Krishna. So I travel with them instead of them traveling with me. So Lord Chaitanya had this Govardhan Shila, and he had this thing, different aspects or different things called Gunjamala, where these red berries, these red hard berries that only grow in Vrindavan, and they were around Govardhan, and this Gunjamala represents Srimati Radharani. So you generally, when people worship Govardhan, they always put Gunjamala around Govardhan. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya had it. He would take this Govardhan Shila every day and start crying over the Govardhan Shila. And he would bathe the Govardhan Shila with his tears. And he put it to his heart. And he gave that Govardhan Shila to a great devotee named Raghunath Das Goswami, and who worshipped this Govardhan Shila every day. And Raghunath Das Goswami is the acharya of the top aspect of our devotional service, which is called, the Sanskrit word is called Prayojana, which means the ultimate goal of going back to Godhead. And he was the most renounced of all the Goswamis of Vrindavan. You went to Radhakund too, right? The Radhakund area. He was the one who established the whole Radhakund area. Lord Chaitanya found Radhakund. When Lord Chaitanya came, it was just a little pond in the middle of the field, a paddy field, that means where they grow rice. And he took a bath in that. So Lord Chaitanya found it, but Raghunath Das Goswami, he was the one who organized the excavation, you know, digging it out and making the whole village around it. And that village used to be called Arishtagram, which means the village of Arishtashura. Arishtagram, you understand? That was the demon who Krishna killed, and after that he made the Govindakund, or Krishnakund, Shamkund, we call also Shamkund. And then Radharani made Radhakund. So, anyway. So Lord Chaitanya gave that Shila to Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami realized that Lord Chaitanya was giving him a place at Govardhan and a situation at Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. So devotees pray for that. Devotees actually pray to always be residing in Govardhan, which is the topmost holy place. Because Govardhan has Radhakund, Shamakund there, and all the holy places in the whole universe are surrounding Govardhan. You don't even have to go anywhere else. You don't have to go to Haridwar, Rishikesh. You certainly don't have to go to Varanasi, where all of my buddies are there. You don't have to go anywhere. You can just stay in Govardhan. I realized that when I first started going to India. I was going all over India. I would take tour buses, I would guide tours all over India, South India, North India, everywhere. And I thought, oh, this is very nice. It is very nice. But then when I started to spend time in Govardhan, I realized I didn't have to go anywhere else. Because that's Krishna Loka, right there. Okay. So, now we're going to tell the story about the mercy of Govardhan. So you'll understand how merciful Govardhan is. Once upon a time, as all stories go, toy stories like that. There was a, this is a story from the Garga Samhita. There was a Brahmana, and his name was Vijay, means victory. Vijay. So, and he decided to go to Vrindavan. And the reason he wanted to go to Vrindavan was to perform Pindah for his forefathers. I mean, he had material reasons. You know, generally people go to the holy place for material reasons. Just like you see in many of the holy trees in Vrindavan, people wrap things around the trees. And that's generally, the ladies do that because they want sons. They're praying for a child. So it's not exactly spiritual, but it's all right. It's better they do that than nothing. Akama sarva kama. Moksha kamadaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. That's Bhagavatam. Whether you're free of material desires, full of material desires, or desirous of liberation, you should worship Krishna. Moksha kamadaradi tivrena bhakti yogena. And not only you should worship him, but you should be enthusiastic and forceful. Tivra bhakti. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. So, anyway, this Brahmin, Vijay, decided to go to Braj. And what happened, he also wanted to get rid of his sins. Because people go to a holy place to get rid of the sins. When they've done so many bad things, then they go to Vrindavan, or they go to the bathe in the Ganges, and get rid of all your sins. Poor Ganges has to take all your sins. I wouldn't want to be the Ganges. But how does the Ganges get rid of the sins? Does anyone know? When you go and drop off your sins in the Ganges, how does the Ganges get rid of them? Does anyone know? Anyone here? Any sadhus?
The saints,
they come in and they take a bath and they purify the Ganges. They purify even a holy place. So therefore, it's described that association with a saintly person is more valuable than repeated bathings in the Ganges River. Swardunyupo Nusheviya. That means it's better than repeated bathings in the Ganges River. So, he went there, and he went to Jamuna River, and he bathed in the Jamuna River, and then he went to Govardhan. And when he went to Govardhan, he circumambulated, and he took one of the stones with him to worship. Okay. Then he left Braj, and he thought, oh, let me go back home and have a good time. I've dumped off all my sins. What's that? Another mobile phone? This is like a disease. It's a mobile phone disease. So, I dumped off all my sins, so now I can go back home. So, when he left Braj, he was attacked by this Rakshasa monster. I mean, this is worse than anything you read about in the Ramayana. He had three heads, three stomachs. I don't know how he did it. You know, three heads, three stomachs, six arms and legs, a nose that was bigger than any of us. Big nose. A tongue that was seven hands long. You know, a hand? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Can you imagine meeting such a Rakshasa like that? In the dark, in the middle of the night? And fangs. You know what a fang is? You don't know what fangs are. Fangs are like when persons or monsters' teeth come out and they go down to here. You ever seen a monster movie? Yeah, you've seen. So he had these big fangs. And then this poor Brahmin, he was just a small Brahmin. He was actually from Bengal. And the Bengalis are very small. They're not like the Punjabi people. You see Punjabi people? Very tall. Strong. Or Rajput people, very strong, tall. But Bengali, very small. they start shaking. Anyway, have you seen people from Bengal? I'm sure you have, because you went to Bengal. Very small. Very small and scary. But they're intelligent, too. Intelligent. So you can't have everything. Either you're big and strong and stupid, or little and intelligent. You can't be with Krishna. Krishna is everything. He's big, strong, intelligent, handsome, everything. But you can only have two or three opulences. You can be intelligent and ugly. So this Brahmin, he was shaking. And he didn't know what to do. He didn't have any weapons with him. So what he did is he just had the stone, Govardhan Shila, with him. So he just hit the Rakshasa with the Govardhan Shila. And guess what happened? The Rakshasa automatically transformed, or his body became transformed into a beautiful coward boy form with a flute. He looked almost like Krishna. Pretty good, isn't it? Don't take my Shila, just. It won't work for you. That's someone just thinking, oh, man. Can you hit me with your Shila? Like that. So it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful that, and the Brahmin was shocked. Here is this Rakshasa, now he's the most beautiful person. And he said to this coward boy, you know, what's happened? You know, why were you transformed from this horrible Rakshasa to this very wonderful coward boy? And the coward boy started to explain many things about Govardhan Hill. He said, first of all, Govardhan Hill is non-different from Krishna. And the second thing he said is 5,000 years of austerity are equivalent to 1 second at Govardhan. 5,000 years, can you imagine that? That's a long time. Nobody lives that long. It's equivalent to giving away 10 million cows in charity to Brahmanas, 10 million yagyas. Amazing, isn't it? 10 million visits to all the holy places in India. Wow. Just by going to Govardhan. 1 second of seeing Govardhan. And anyone who bathes in this place called Govindakund, you remember Govindakund, will in the future take a body, a spiritual body, just like Krishna's body. So the Brahmana was amazed by hearing this. And he said, wow. Of course, well. And then he said, but please tell me, how did you get the body of a Rakshasa? You know, what sinful thing did you do to get a body of a Rakshasa? And so this Brahmin, I'm really the coward boy, who was previously Rakshasa, he started to explain. He said, many, many hundreds of years, or thousands or millions of years ago, I was a gambler, a rake. You don't know what a rake is, no. A rake is someone who is, he goes after women. You understand? Somebody like that. Gambler, a rake, drunkard, I drank a lot of kava. Of course, it doesn't say that in the Bronx. In the Kargasamhita, it doesn't say anything about kava. But, you know, I drank a lot, and I became very attached to a prostitute. And he was married. And he said, my mother and father didn't like it that I was attached to the prostitute. And my wife didn't like it either. That's understandable. Because he would always go and give all his money to the prostitute. And he said, because they didn't like it, guess what I did? I killed my father and my mother. And when my wife was walking on the path, cut off her head. Nice guy. Then I took, anyway, this shows the mercy of Govardhan. Then I took all their money and went to the south with the prostitute. But then what I did is I killed the prostitute. You know, how bad can you get, you know? You're in wait. And he said, the way I killed the prostitute is I threw her in the well and let her die. You know, can you imagine dying in a well without water? You know, just like a big hole in the ground. Help. And no food, no water, no nothing. And she just died like that. And then, he said, I started my real business, which was a dacoit. So then I would attack people. I killed thousands and thousands of Brahmins and Kshatriyas. And what to speak of Vaishyas and Sudras, and took all their money. There's something like the story of Ratnakara, you know, the Valmiki story, very similar. And then I became very wealthy, but then one day I was walking, and a snake bit me. You know, karma catches up to you. Sometimes it takes a while for karma to catch up to you, right? Sometimes it's instant, and then it looks like someone's enjoying. Wow, he's enjoying. He's eating meat. He's eating chicken. Murgi. And why do I have to suffer as a devotee? And he's doing all these things and he's enjoying. But you don't understand, the karma sometimes takes, it may not act instantaneously, it may take next life, two lives, but then after that you become chicken. Like I was explaining to the devotees in Lombasa, that there is this person who started all these chicken stores all over the world. KFC. You heard of that? Some of you have heard of that. Do you have here? No.
No.
Mombasa? No.
No.
Suva, yes. Suva has everything. So, his name was Colonel Sanders. Very famous person. KFC stands for Kentucky Fried Chicken. I don't know if you knew that. So, Prabhupada said that he will have to take a chicken birth for every chicken that's sold in any of his stores. So that means billions or billions and billions of chicken births. So you may find him in someone's front yard one day. Same man, chicken body. How do you think chickens are born? They have to be human beings first. Did you know that? Any animal you see was previously a human being who did something to deserve that. Any animal. Because when you first come to the material world, you come as a human being. Some people say Lord Brahma, but in a high position. There's no karma when you first come. You get the karma after you come. And then you go down. First you're up, then you go down. So any animal you see, like that dog you hear barking, was once a human being, and he was at some soccer game barking at the opposing team, you know. Or cricket, or something like that. And then he's as a human being. So he was previously, that's amazing, isn't it? So anyway, so he was killed by this snake. And so what happens is before you start taking animal bodies or fall down into lower species, you get to visit some very nice people. They're called the Yamadutas. You get to have a vacation with the Yamadutas. It's like, it's actually worse than the army camp in Fiji where you do something wrong. You know, you do something wrong, now it's famous, they make the people run around naked at the army camp all night long. I have some people I'd like to send there, you know. Learn a lesson. But anyway, so what the Yamadutas do, there's like millions and millions of different punishments. So the first punishment he got was that he got beaten with whips. He was tied like this, and the Yamadutas kept mercilessly beating him with whips. And because you don't become unconscious when you're beaten by the Yamadutas. In this world, if you have too much pain, then you lose consciousness. But with the Yamadutas, because it's a subtle body rather than the gross body, you just like keep experiencing more and more and more pain. Even if you break all the bones in your subtle body. It's like there's that one punishment we talked about the other day, how they put people through a sugar cane press. You know sugar cane presses? Where the two rollers are there? Can you imagine being squeezed and you stay alive and then they put you through again? And then you see that they take a piece of sugar cane and they put it through back and forth, back and forth, back and forth until they squeeze every bit of juice out of it. So that's one of the punishments of the Yamadutas. So after they beat him a lot, they thought, we're going to teach him a lesson about being so attached to the prostitute. So they gave him a red-hot form of a lady, and he was forced to embrace it. You know, red-hot. You know what red-hot is? You know, that means we used this example the other day, too, that if you ever use a soldering iron, you know, to solder things? No. Or a torch? You know what a sadarinaya is.
Yesara.
It's very hot. And if you touch it, you get burnt, right? Very hot. I remember I used to use that in by accident sometimes. I touch it. Very bad burn. So imagine the whole body, you have to go like that. You have to kiss the whole body. Right? So this is one of Yamaraj's punishments. And there's no escape. There's no escape. One time, Ravana went to Yamaraj, and he tried to free everybody from Yamaraj. This is a story in his mind. After a few minutes, he was able to free them. Until he had a fight with Yamaraj, and Yamaraj was getting ready to kill him, but he couldn't kill him because Lord Brahma gave that benediction that Ravana couldn't die from a demigod. So then, that's why Ravana thought he had defeated Yamaraj. So anyway, so this person who was beaten, he was made to embrace, and then he experienced 8,400,000 different types of hell. 8,400,000. That's a lot of hells. And so this went on for some time. And then he got the benediction of having like 100 lives as a pig. It shows you should behave yourself. Because it all come back. Whatever you do, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. There's a law of karma. So, imagine 100 lives as a pig, 100 lives as a tiger, 100 lives as a buffalo, 1,000 lives as a snake. Wow. And then, eventually, he became a monster. After all that time. And then, as a monster, he was chasing people in Vrindavan, and eventually he got chased out of Vrindavan. That's why the Brahman encountered him outside of Vrindavan. And so he was eating people as a monster. And then he got in touch with Govardhan, the Govardhan Shila. And guess what happened? He became Vaikuntha, or resident of Goloka Vrindavan. And then an airplane came down from the spiritual world, this Vaikuntha airplane. Air Fiji? Fiji Airways, sorry. They redesigned their plane. It's still the same. But what do they say? Just a different dress. It's like the same person putting on a different dress. It doesn't change them. So this Vaikuntha airplane came down, picked him up, and took him back to the spiritual world. And so this Brahmana who saw that became amazed. And the Garga Samhita, it says that one who worships Govardhan gets opulences like Indra in this life, and in the next life he gets a position like Nanda Maharaj in the spiritual world. Because I haven't experienced the opulences of Indra yet. I'm waiting. But no, we don't want these things. So the point is Govardhan's mercy. And that works, that mercy works. And especially that mercy is present. Of course, you may say, now we should all go to Govardhan, or I should hit everybody with a Govardhan chair. But that's not the point. That mercy can be there simply by chanting Krishna's holy names. Because when you chant Krishna's holy names, guess what? Purna Shura Nichimuktuam Vidatwam Namanam No Namachintami Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. That Krishna is there and the whole spiritual world is there and Govardhan is there. When you chant Hare Krishna, there's so much nectar in the holy names, as we were mentioning or speaking before, that the devotees pray for millions of tongues and millions of mouths and millions of ears so they can continually chant the Lord's holy names. So the question is, why aren't we attracted right now? Isn't it? Why don't you experience ecstasy? Why don't you get a Vaikuntha body when you chant the holy names? It's so pure. Isn't it? Like this Rakshasa came in touch with Govardhan, and he went back to Godhead, and here we are chanting Hare Krishna for so many years, we're still in the material world. What are we doing wrong? What we're doing wrong is we're committing offenses against Krishna's names. And you know about the 10 offenses. I'm not going to talk about them right now. That's why our taste has gone down. If you remember when you first started chanting, you had more of a taste than you have now. Right? When you first started chanting, it was great. But now, it's a little bit of a struggle. 16 rounds becomes more of a struggle. Why? Because we've committed offenses against Vaishnavas, especially offenses against Vaishnavas, and our taste has diminished less and less. So we have to be very careful. We were talking inside before how we have to serve Vaishnavas. It's one thing, like it's a negative, don't commit offenses. But then a positive is to always be serving the Vaishnavas. We spoke about this in the Vasa too. That we have to consider ourselves a servant, a servant, a servant of a servant, Gopi Bharata, Padakamala, Dasa, Dasa, Dasanu Dasa. Servant of a 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 Vaishnava. That's the point. And as soon as we think we're ourselves big, we told that story this morning, isn't it? About the frog? We're not going to tell it. Should we tell it? No, we don't tell it yet. You've already heard it. Then we become rascal again. As soon as we become, think ourselves guru, we become guru. You understand? Like a cow. So that's the point. We have to have the proper reverence for dealing with the holy name and Krishna's devotees. And then simply by chanting Hare Krishna, we can actually achieve a spiritual body. And that's really what we want in Krishna consciousness, to realize our spiritual identity. Each and every one of you has a real identity in the spiritual world, which you have forgotten. You're all subjected to amnesia. You know what amnesia is? No, you don't know what amnesia is. Amnesia is a condition where someone like hits their head and they forgot who they are, who their family is. You ever hear that happening? Or they have a stroke or something like that. That's more common in Fiji. Everybody has a stroke in Fiji. So, because you eat the wrong food. So anyway, so they have a stroke and all of a sudden, you may be their son, and you come before them, and you say, Dad, in your Pita Shri. Or Babu, you know, Grandpa. You know, you got, and they say, who are you? What's my name? Huh? Where am I? And you say, your name is Bobby Patel. Pachuba, you know, something like that. Yeah. So, you say, and they say, no. They don't remember anything. And this is very common, actually. This sort of, or someone may have Alzheimer's disease. That means senility when one gets older. And so we have this amnesia. That's what it's called, amnesia. It means to forget. So we have this amnesia. We've forgotten our real constitutional position. Each and every one of you is either a cow or boy or a cow or a gopi or a tree in Vrindavan or Krishna's mother, Krishna's father, something like that. But you've forgotten. And so the process of Krishna consciousness is to wake up. That's what we say, jeev jago, gora chandra voli. And you wake up. It's like in the morning. Let's give another example. When you're sleeping, you forget who you are, where you are. Right? Sometimes you wake up and you think, where am I? Where's the bathroom? And you just like go the wrong direction. You step out the front door. Especially when you're traveling. It happens sometimes. You know, it's like, you say, why did you walk out the front door? Well, isn't this the bathroom? You know. So, you forget. But then after a few minutes, you start to remember, oh, you may be dreaming about something wonderful like being a bird and flying through the sky or being a rich person. Then you wake up and you discover you have no money. So, it's like that. Just like waking up in the morning. You begin gradually, oh yeah, I'm in Fiji. I'm in Sava Sava. Or whatever. And so that's our process of Krishna consciousness. It's all there within. Your bhakti, your devotion, your identity is all within. And simply we want to wake that up for the process of Krishna consciousness. But now you're thinking you're something else. So that's the holy name, and that's the mercy of the holy name. So any questions? So we wanted to speak about the mercy of Govardhan. I mean, we could speak a lot about Govardhan, going around Govardhan, because I do live there. That's my home. So I know all the places. We invite you all to come when I'm there, so I can show you around. Well, cool to tell you about that, isn't it? We had a good time. You went around once without me, right? Before I came, or? No, you didn't. Was it you, or maybe some of the other devotees? Oh yeah, Naveen went around once without me. But when you go with me, I can show you all the places, tell you all the stories, and you'll have a very good time. And you'll never want to leave. So any questions or comments? Comments, arguments,
problems? I haven't spoken in 46 minutes, that's good.
What about the holy names? This is what I mentioned. I think that's our main procedure. In devotional service, we have different tracks. One is called Pancharatriki Vidhi, and the other one is called Bhagavat Vidhi. There's another track, too, which we don't follow. It's called the Vedic Vidhi, or the Vedic Vidhi, where you have ritualistic brahmanas who do all the sacrifices from the Yajuratara, Samaveda. We don't do that. We do Pancharatriki, which is deity worship, and Bhagavat Vidhi. So, in order to be in touch with Govardhan, or with Braj, or Krishna's holy abode, we follow the process of devotional, especially the chanting, which is Bhagavat Vidhi. Of the two, if you compare deity worship with preaching, of the two, preaching and Srimad Bhagavatam, and the holy names are much more important. The deity worship is meant to assist the chanting, the Bhagavad Gita, and everybody should be hearing from Bhagavatam regularly. That's one of the most important items. There's five important items of devotional service. And Srimad Bhagavatam is one of them, the holy names, worshiping Tulsi like that, residing in the holy place, and serving the Vaishnavas. Those are the five important things. So you should do all five of those every day. Serve the Vaishnavas every day, worship Tulsi every day. I mean, everybody can keep Tulsi here, there's no problem. Or offer some water to Tulsi every day. No problem. Chant the holy names, of course, you know, Japa Mala. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So these are very important things. Especially Krishna Swadamo Bhakate, Dhanara Gyana Dhanisaha, Kalo Nashatra Salmesha, Purnako Dhanodita. You know the verse? That the question was raised by the sages, by what are religious principles protected in this Kali Yuga? And the answer given was that religious principles are protected and propagated by this Bhagavatam. Because the question was, when Krishna left this world, who's going to protect religious principles? And the answer was Bhagavatam. So this Bhagavatam, you know all the verses. The Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun. Purnarko Janodata, which is brilliant as the sun. So that's the point. Read Bhagavatam every day. Hear Bhagavatam. I know in Fiji generally there's not so much of a culture of reading, right? People like music, which is good, Krishna conscious music. But you should read about Krishna's pastimes. Read Bhagavat. Bhagavat to Seva. Now, there's two Bhagavats, personal Bhagavat, person Bhagavat, and book Bhagavat. In other words, when the guru or the sadhu is here, yes, then we should go to hear from them. But when they're not, we can get the same benefit by serving the book Bhagavatam. So everyone should read Bhagavatam. They have available in Hindi, English, Malayalam, with, right? Even Bali reads Bhagavatam, right? Every language, Prabhupada's book is translated, books are translated. So that's how. Because otherwise, you can go to Govardhan and you'll never experience anything. Because going to Vrindavan is not the, the procedure is not to get in an airplane and fly somewhere, but to actually change your consciousness. Because the Holy Dham is covered by a layer of yoga maya, which really keeps the rascals from seeing what's happening. You know, if a rascal goes to Vrindavan, he'll just see the pigs. You saw some pigs there? It's tons of pigs. Millions of them. They're the garbage collection department. Because people don't collect the garbage, so they've gotten the pigs, which are paid salary by the government, to go around and collect all the garbage. And then, and the monkeys, so many nice monkeys. Prabhupada said the monkeys and pigs in Vrindavan used to be sannyasis in their last lives who didn't follow the regulator principles. So that's why there's so many pigs and monkeys. And so when I talk to the monkeys, I say, "Oh Maharaj, I'm very respectful." That's why they don't bite me.
That's why the monkeys in Vrindavan, they jump on the...
And they take glasses, too. They don't need glasses. They're not a problem with their eyes. But they take the glasses because they exchange with the storekeepers. Either you throw them a banana and they give their glasses back right away, or they bring it to the optician. And then you can buy your glasses back from the optician because, you know, optical place? Because the optical place has given bananas to the monkey. They're trained monkeys. But Govardhan monkeys are better. They're the best monkeys. They never steal glasses. So all these monkeys and pigs and everything. So if one simply is materialistic, Naham Prakasha Sarvasha Yogamaya Samamprata, as Krishna says in the Gita. He covers his eternal dham and his pastimes with this covering of yogamaya, which expands as mahamaya. And so all you see is the external things. You just see the pigs and the monkeys, and you think dirt and everything like that. But this is Krishna's arrangement, so you don't see the real Vrindavan. Naham prakasya sarvasya yogamaya samavata. So if you have devotion, bhaktyamam avijanati yavanyaschasmi. Tatvataha, right? Only by devotion can Krishna or the Holy Dham be saved. Krishna is only seen by the devotees. And the Holy Dham is only seen by the devotees. And if you have devotion, Govardhan will manifest in your heart. By sound vibration. Like the holy name. Krishna. Krishna is there. Nama Chintanami. Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. So that's the secret. So even if you can't afford to go on a plane, then just chant. You know, many people don't have enough money to go to India. That's okay. India's come to you. So, any questions or comments? No? Personally, any questions? No? Jai Jagadish, you must have a question. No? There's a nice story about the Rakshasa who became a resident of Vrindavan because of being hit by a Govardhan Shila. Very, very nice. Okay, so then what happens now? Arti. Arti for Giriraj. It's Giriraj. So you're getting the fortune of coming to Govardhan Hill without having to pay for it.